Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line Gary Aldrich, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Thunder on the Left. Now, those of you who remember Gary's original book, Unlimited Access, he was a FBI agent who worked in the White House under the Clinton administration, and of course, finally, I think, sort of left the Federal Bureau of Investigation just a little disillusioned with what he'd seen. He talked about, of course, the fact that many of the people in the White House had long histories of drug abuse, and yet supposedly we were involved with the war on drugs. And he talked about Hillary Clinton walking down the hallways there, and nobody was allowed to be in the hallway. If somebody made eye contact with her, she would scream and yell. And well, it was an incredible, incredible story. But now, of course, Gary has written a new book entitled Thunder on the Left. Thank you so much for being with us, Gary.
It's good to be with you, Stan.
And, of course, you had over 400,000 copies of your Unlimited Access book sold, didn't you?
Well, maybe a little more than that.
How many were actually printed?
Well, I believe the softcover version sold about 400,000.
Oh, really? So you must be pushing a million then.
The hardcover version sold many more than that. So I think, yes, we're on a million of hard and softcover versions sold.
All right, well, I'm so glad it did, and I hope this new book of yours will, of course, do the same thing. The title is Thunder on the Left, An Insider's Report on the Hijacking of the Democratic Party. So what promoted you to write the book?
Well, 5 years in the White House taught me a lot about politics, but 20 years as an FBI agent before I even came to the White House had me involved in plenty of investigations involving the so-called New Left, which emerged in the 60s and basically vanished in the mid-70s, to reemerge, I believe, in its phoenix, if you will, in the Clinton White House in the 90s, and has taken a prominent position in Washington politics ever since the Clintons came to town here, and has never let up in terms of their grasp of power. And in fact, I consider the Democratic Party to have been hijacked by the hard left. We used to call them the new left. I now call them the hard left because they've become even harder in their hearts than they were when they were young college students protesting the Vietnam War and supposedly supporting civil rights.
Well, now, aren't a lot of these people hardcore Marxists who really want to replace our free society with an authoritarian society under their control?
No question about it. Now, it's hard to determine what ism they come from, or what they you know would call their true ideology, but there's a combination of isms here at work. But rest assured, these are the kinds of people who would support a Fidel Castro and his Cuban government down there in Cuba. So those are those same folks.
Well, of course, in your book, though, you point out that we seem to have two parties that seem to be more or less dedicated to big government. Certainly the Democrats, everybody knows they are. But in your book, of course, you have some words about many of our Republican politicians who are quite willing to go along with ever bigger government and more spending. And I'm going to let you sort of develop these ideas when we get back. And we're going to have to take a break now as we bring one of our other stations locally here in the Monterey Bay Area right online. So we'll be back in just a moment. Well, our guest this afternoon is Gary Aldrich. His book, Thunder on the Left, and as you know, if you don't know, you should know, Gary was a FBI agent in the White House. How long were you actually there, Gary?
I was in the White House from 1990 to 1995 when I retired.
Right, and I suppose that after reading your book, I could understand why you were anxious to retire. It must have been a terribly frustrating experience for somebody who loved America.
Well, it was frustrating, but it angered me, and it made me afraid for my country as well, because in the 5 years that I served in the White House, I saw an administration who could just about do anything they wanted to do and had no controls over them whatsoever by a Congress that's supposed to provide oversight. And certainly the court system was helpless to do anything unless somebody brought lawsuits that could be brought forward. And even the lawsuits that were filed against the Clinton administration didn't do so well if they ended up in the courtroom of a Carter appointee or a Clinton appointee.
And of course, you pointed out the FBI had become politicized, and when you actually submitted your book to the FBI, as a pure thing you're required to do to make sure there was no classified or secret information there, then instead of course, going through that with that thought in mind, they sent a copy of it to the Clintons. Now, that is something that never would have happened without an organization that was totally political, is it?
Well, I wouldn't say that the organization was totally political, but I would say that the hierarchy of the organization had succumbed to political correctness and political pressure from the Clinton White House. And, of course, at that time, Stan, the FBI was managed by Director Louis Free. And remember that, going back a little bit in history, Judge Sessions, William Sessions, had complained when he was fired that the Clinton administration was attempting to politicize the FBI. And that's the reason he claims that they fired him from the FBI in the first place. So they picked a guy, Louis Free, out of New York City. He was acceptable to Janet Reno, to Hillary Clinton, and to her chief counsel, Bernard Nussbaum. And the three of them thought he was quite all right to be FBI director. And I'm telling you, that should scare any American right there into believing that something is amiss here.
Well, of course, as you point out, many of the FBI agents love America. They're hardworking people. They're trying to do a good job. But one of the things your book stresses is the bureaucracy and the chiefs watching the chiefs, watching the chiefs, and the reporting to all the levels of administration that is creating a totally unwieldy form of government. We're going to be back here in just a moment to continue our conversation with Gary Aldrich. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest today is Gary Aldrich. We're talking about his new book, Thunder on the Left, an Insider's Report of the Hijacking of the Democrat Party. And, of course, you know, you point out, really, we've got terrible problems all throughout government because we've got too many employees, 3 million employees. And, of course, as you suggest, when it's snowing in Washington, D.C., well, most of them stay home because they don't want to get cold. But they're really not missed because most of what most of them are doing is totally unnecessary. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Well, yes, indeed it is. Of course, the hard left loves big government, but they've managed to bring along the Republican Party to this concept now and also the general population. We have become a nation, frankly, of whiners, in my view, and Stan, I hate to say that, especially your listeners may be taking offense at what I'm saying right now, but we're losing our self-reliance, we're losing our independence. They're going to pass yet another entitlement program here shortly, which will make it impossible for people to go outside the government plan for prescription drugs. And I take offense to this, frankly, because a lot of us have planned for our old age, and we're carrying the proper insurance. We put the proper money aside and so forth. So they're telling us now, well, that's too bad that you planned for your old age. The government knows better than you know, and we're going to take over your medicine, your doctor's visits with Medicare and your prescription drugs. And don't worry about a thing. You won't have to pay for a thing. Well, that's nonsense, because those of us who are productive and are hardworking are the ones that are going to pay for this. And even rich people like Bill Gates up the coast there will get free drugs, even though it's ludicrous that the government should provide any services at all to a to a man who is so wealthy?
Well, I think somebody once told me that the least needy are the most greedy. And of course, it's many times the people of great wealth who want all the freebies from government, and they shouldn't, because, of course, what they don't understand is that down the line, the government is going to begin to restrict what medicines they can get. And, of course, whenever you have the government providing for any part of our society, it is also going to control. And what you see in any socialist society, and this is a move towards socialism, is a system by which eventually the government will limit access, as they do in Canada today. The only way that their system works at all is to make it so difficult to get into the doctor that you finally give up, either that or you die. And the same thing is true with many of our HMOs, which the government has tried to force people into. And that is exactly what this whole current drug crisis in America is really all about today, is to force people out of Medicare into managed care systems so their health care can be rationed. But the people don't understand that, do they?
No, they don't. Well, I don't know what they understand, frankly, Stan. I do know that we're a nation basically losing its independent spirit. We're a nation that's becoming more and more dependent on the government. And the government, of course, is quite happy to have more and more dependence on its roles, because that brings more positions for government bureaucrats to fill. It brings more opportunities for promotion within the government system. And frankly, we have a lot of parasitic types back here in Washington, D.C., who know no other life than to work for and to work around the federal government. This is the fountain of all of their benefits, their salaries, their careers built around it. And you know, they would have a very serious dilemma on their hands if suddenly the government had some kind of significant cutback.
Well, what is the solution? As you go through, and of course you go through your book, looking at various aspects of what's going on, and you talk about what's happening in the FBI, and of course you talk a great deal about the Office of Homeland Security. And, of course, one of the stipulations of President Bush was the fact that he would be able to hire and fire people. He would be able to promote them on the basis of merit. What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I think they should be promoted on the basis of merit and their work performance. But what has happened in the federal government, Stan, is that, the recent Supreme Court decision held that some affirmative action is okay as long as it's not, it can't be accused of being a quota. What happens inside the federal government, Stan, is that not only do they have systems which stress so-called diversity in the hiring practices and the recruiting practices in the federal agencies, but they also have an internal system that also promotes favored treatment for people once they've been hired. Because these agencies, you know, have to go back to Congress and report to the Attorney General and to the President how much progress they made in promoting these favorite groups. So it isn't just about hiring. It's also about career track. So what's happening, Stan, is that a number of people who come on board in the diversity program are very good, but a number of them are not. And they're all treated as if they're favored. They get prime assignments, they get prime promotions, and they don't get punished like everyone else gets punished. Therefore, the main core of the working group inside the federal government are demoralized by this kind of thing. Early on in your career, you learn that no matter how hard you work, if you're a straight, white male, your career is going to go very, very slowly, whereas someone down the hall that's part of that favored group is going to rocket ahead of you. And so your family, you got to go home and explain to your wife that, tires for the van are going to have to wait. The move from the poor neighborhood to the better neighborhood is going to have to be put on hold because the government is making sure that all these favored types get a leg up on the promotional ladder. And I'm telling you, it's killing morale.
And then, of course, you talk about, the federal bureaucrat, the official, who wants to do a good job, but he doesn't dare fire anybody, because if he does, he's going to get sued. These people, the union will be after him. There'll be lawsuits against him. If he then spends all the time he needs to document the fact that the person is doing a poor job, then he doesn't have any time to really supervise the other good people there who are trying to do a good job. Is that a fair statement?
Well, the federal government, Stan, has made it almost impossible to fire anybody. It made it very difficult to discipline anybody. So what happens is that if a manager has one or two people under his supervision, and those people are malcontents, or they're incompetent, or they're abusive, or even corrupted, he can make a decision. He can spend time papering, in other words, building a file to discipline these employees or perhaps even fire them. Or he can spend his time more wisely, which is to try to encourage the rest of the workers who happen to be productive to work a little bit harder to make up for the dead wood that he's forced to carry because the government can no longer control its own employees. And so you talk to any federal employees who may talk to you on the air, call in, anytime you'd like to, I'm telling you, they're going to confirm what I'm saying. The federal employee workforce is demoralized out of this affirmative action diversity hiring scheme because the federal government can't do anything much right in the first place. And when they're asked to go along with an affirmative action program, which may seem righteous at the front end, of course they bollocks it. They bungle it. And it ends up killing the morale inside the agencies.
And, of course, you talk about, you know, going to an office, and here's a woman, she's working now for the federal government, and what's she doing? Why, she's playing solitaire or poker on her computer.
Yes, indeed. Well, that was just one prime example of what I saw inside the federal government, and that particular case was inside the White House. Yes. We also saw employees with their feet up on the desk talking to their sweetheart or perhaps their mother. Or sitting there doing crosswords in the newspaper. Look, taxpayers out there, listen up. This government, this federal government of yours, is so lazy sometimes, so insolent, so incompetent, you would be shocked and disgusted at the amount of waste and incompetence that's going on inside the federal government each and every day.
Well, of course, what's the solution? How can that actually be changed? I mean, we're wasting so much money, so much of our tax money is just going into a lot of things that are just busy work. I mean, we're financing the National Academy of Arts that, of course, thinks that a crucifix and a jar of urine is art, or some of the other things that Mapplethorpe and the others have done, which are nothing but obscenity and really pornography. And, of course, they take our money for all sorts of things. They're giving it to organizations throughout the world. How can we regain control of our government? Because it doesn't seem, whether the Democrats or the Republicans are in power, the same programs continue.
In fact, well,
many times Republicans give more for population control than the Democrats do.
Well, Dan, this is the precise reason why I wrote this book, because I wanted to continue a conversation others had started, and I wanted to bring attention to this matter because nothing in this federal government of ours ever gets changed unless it comes through public persuasion. In other words, when the voters have had enough, when they hear enough, when they're convinced that a circumstance is out there that needs to be righted, a wrong needs to be righted, they're the ones that cause it to be righted. So people like you and I need to get on the air, need to get out there on the stump and talk about this so the general population has an idea of just how bad it is. Once the general population gets the notion how bad it is, then they're the ones that go to their congressmen, senators, newspapers, and so on, and continue that conversation, insisting that change be brought, and be brought quickly. So it's a slow process of changing public opinion, but I'm willing to invest my time and try to do this.
I'm glad you are, and of course this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, just trying to get people to think, and people don't like to think, it makes them feel uncomfortable, and yet of course people are responsible for maintaining the freedom of this nation, and if it's lost, if it's lost on our watch, then our children will never know the wonderful society that we inherited from generations past and lost because of our unwillingness to take a stand. We'll be back here in just a few moments with our special guest, Gary Aldrich, and welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Of a
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I simply want to remind you about the Big Berkey Waterfillers. It's a handy thing to have, especially in times like this when there are uncertainties and if suddenly something happened to the water supply, how would you get by without pure drinking water? Well, certainly the Big Berkey has been used by missionaries throughout the world for almost 150 years. It's a stainless steel product, and as you put water in the top, it comes out the bottom. It filters about 25 gallons of water a day through ceramic filters that are packed with activated charcoal, and they'll take out the bacteria and cryptosporidium and E. coli, and certainly it'll reduce dramatically the various chemicals and insecticides and other things that bother you. And of course, these are available. They're portable. You can put them in your recreational vehicle. You can put them in your camper, or you can keep them at home. You can actually get them for $279. But if you get it through Radio Liberty, they're $239. And, of course, if you buy it through us, you get a four-tape set or a video that we have produced. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for a Big Berkey. Now, these are available in every state, but California and Iowa. However, if you want to get one in California, there's something called a Berkey Light, and of course this is also a portable filter, but it has, it's transparent. You can actually see the water levels. It has black Berkey filters, which really are even more efficient than the Big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced either 2 or 4 years, depending on how much you use them. And of course, they'll take out even MTBE. Of course, they will not remove fluoride. Neither one of them will remove fluoride, but there are special post filters you can get through Radio Liberty if you ask for the post filters for your Berkey filter. Why? We'll be glad to tell you how to get them. Go up on our website and look at the Berkey filters there at RadioLiberty.com. You can actually see pictures of them. And then call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, $199. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Gary Aldrich, and we're talking about his book, on Thunder on the Left, an insider's report on the hijacking of the Republican Party. And of course, here you talk about how the Democrats keep talking about a vast right-wing conspiracy. This was certainly a Hillary Clinton's term. But of course, you asked the question, is there a vast left-wing conspiracy that controls the Democratic Party? And what's your response to that question?
Well, of course, the tactics of the hard left have always been to accuse your enemy of that which you are guilty of. So, of course, they would want to accuse people who object to their policies, to their procedures. They would want to accuse them of some kind of evil intent or wrongdoing. People on the right that I have met since my first book was published only care for this country. They care for the country that was built around the Bible, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. That's the country that people that I know on the right want to continue, want to support. People on the left, on the other hand, have another agenda, and that agenda is to move the country towards a more socialistic, hard socialistic, almost communistic form of government, of living for the citizens who are here in this real estate. And I say real estate, Stan, because that's really what all this is. Here in America, from sea to shining sea, what you're looking at is geography. You're looking at real estate. What makes us different is that we have those four wonderful documents to support our life here. The Bible, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us special. That's what keeps us free, and that's what keeps us prosperous. And they don't like those documents, and they want to take those documents away from us or belittle or demean those documents so that they can install this socialism that's in their hearts. And frankly, Stan, I cannot explain what causes people to grow up in this country, look around, and decide it is so flawed that we need to adopt something that perhaps the Soviet Union had, or Castro's Cuba has, or North Korea's dictator has, or even Iraq's dictator had. To me, it's almost a sickness.
Well, I think you put it quite well on the closing parts of your opening statement in your foreword when you said, no matter how much I study the hard left, I'll never understand why some people live to destroy themselves and others. Why do they seem determined to ruin the best country on the face of this earth? And I agree with that. With all the faults that we have in America, it is still the best country in the world, and it is the hope of all mankind. And if we lose this country, then of course there is no hope for anyone else in the world. Now, you speak in your book about the hard left, but you also speak about the right, and some of the things you say about the soft-hearted right. Would you want to sort of expand on that? Because I think that I think it's an important point to point out. Some of the people on the right don't even seem to understand there's a problem.
Well, they don't understand there's a problem, or they're just in a state of denial, or they don't want to face the problem, and I'm not sure what it is. But we have a lot of people, Stan, and I know you know a lot of them, and I do too, because we have met at conventions together, and we've talked to the same kinds of people who are so forgiving, so ready to forgive, so ready to apply, to project, if you will, onto their political opponents. Virtues that don't exist within their political opponents' hearts. For example, many of the leadership of the Republican Party today, and then too many of the talk show hosts, for example, are quick to point out, quick to observe, that when you have a congressman over standing in the square in Baghdad saying that our president's a liar, when you have a congressman or a senator appear at a political rally and say, during a time of war, that our president's a liar and he's incompetent and he's stupid. When you have people saying that, that isn't just simple political opposition to another party. That isn't just simple political opposition to the Bush administration. That's treasonous. And I think it's time we started standing up and saying so.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, I may not agree with everything the president does, but my plea was get this war over, let's stop the opposition, let's back our boys over there. And some of the people on the other side really wanted Saddam Hussein to win. And how they could possibly justify that position, I don't know. But just as in Vietnam, there were people who wanted the Vietnamese to win, North Vietnam to win, so the same thing was true in Iraq. So we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Gary Aldrich. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable to regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that the Institute of the Constitution, I think, is one of the most important ideas that has come up in a long time. If you establish an Institute of the Constitution in your church, in your neighborhood, in your home, it's basically videos. There are 12 half-hour videos. Actually, it's three videos, each with four half-hour videos on them, two videos by David Barton. There's a book that tells you exactly what to do, and all you need to do is get the people together and have them sit down and watch the videos, begin to learn of the foundations of our nation, the Christian foundations of our Constitution, why the Founding Fathers laid out the Constitution they did, the separation of powers, but more than that, of course, people will be inspired and understand what we had and how we lost it. Give a call to the Institute of the Constitution at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, and help us take America back. And then, of course, I want to mention Miracle 2 soap products, and, of course, we can't make any claims for them. All we can tell you is that many of the people who do use those products are very, very pleased with them, and some of them tell amazing, amazing stories about how it's actually helped them. So if you'd like to try the Miracle 2 soap products, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizing solution, which some people take because it seems to help their heartburn. And so, basically, if you'd like to know more about the products, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll be glad to send you introductory information. If you'd like to get an introductory set of the products, why, of course, we have a special price on those, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Miracle 2 Health Products. And as I say, I can't say they're a miracle, but an awful lot of people have used them to make that claim. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Gary Aldrich. We're talking about his new book, A Thunder on the Left. And it's talking about the Democrat Party. But, you know, Gary, there are a lot of good Democrats out there that that really, of course, see some of the problems that I think we all see in the country. But it is the people who really have gained control of the party that are moving in the wrong direction. Wouldn't that be the feeling you have?
Yes, and I think a conversation like we're having tonight in my book, Thunder on the Left, may help the Heartland Democrats understand just how bad the problem is, but also make them understand that there are people like us who really have no beef, no serious beef with them. We don't hold them responsible for Bill Clinton's conduct or Hillary Clinton's rudeness. That's really a product of the hard left having taken over the Democratic Party. Well, we understand that.
Well, it certainly looks like Hillary is positioning herself to run for the president. Of course, she's written this book. I think it shouldn't be a biography. It ought to be a fiction. I mean, you know, I had no idea my husband was cheating on me, you know, and here I am sort of in a poor, aggrieved wife. And, of course, you made a couple of references in the book to some things. You know, what was it that somebody had said that Bill Clinton had told one of his girlfriends that Hillary has had sex with more women than he had?
Well, I'm not certain that appears in my book, Stan, but it's not. I'll tell you something.
Maybe I read it in another book. I read it just the last couple of days.
These are recurring rumors that I can't really put my finger on, but the mere fact that Hillary Clinton has either an asexual personality or a bisexual personality, or may even be lesbian in her desires or in her preference does not really excuse the hard left abuse that these people have done to our U.S. government. And I think there are probably a lot of people out there that may have a sexual difference because, you know, from you and I, but they don't agree with Hillary Clinton's conduct either, and they certainly don't agree with Bill's sexual conduct.
All right, fine. Well, if I didn't read it in your book, I read it in the last couple of days. Anyway, I think it's very interesting to see how Hillary has manipulated everything. And when she was in the White House, she certainly was running roughshod over the employees over Bill, wasn't she?
No question about it. This woman is a very cold, calculating person. She's not that bright, frankly, but she has intimidated enough people and. They probably have bought off enough people, maybe even compromised a few people, to maintain her position on top of the party. She is working very closely with Terry McAuliffe, who is running the Democratic National Committee. They are the faucet, if you will, for the funds that enable other Democrats to be elected and reelected. So she and her husband, Bill, have a firm hand on the Democratic Party right now, and they're controlling what will happen in the next 4 to 8 years. You can take that to the bank.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Nathan calling in. Hi, Nathan. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, sure. Mr. Aldrich?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned, of course, this concept of a conspiracy that surrounds the president. And, you know, you say it's the left wing. Other people say it's the right wing. But, you know, whatever it is, did you have really any personal interaction with her, or did you just sort of sense that it was there?
Personal interaction with Hillary Clinton?
No. With kind of the power, the people behind the scenes, or did you just sort of have a sense that it was there and it didn't really interact with...
I understand your question. Look, I had a unique position in the White House in that I was able to research the backgrounds of these people as an FBI agent, which was part of my job, was to look into the backgrounds of these people and determine whether or not they were acceptable for... access to the Oval Office, to the, you know, to the White House itself, or perhaps have the ability and the privilege of reviewing top secret material and the like. It was part of the usual process to make sure that people of good character and loyalty to the United States held positions of high trust, and that was the reason why I was able to form my early opinion that the Clinton administration was peppered with folks who had never expressed any keen interest in the welfare of the United States. Then, in just the opposite, had expressed many times anti-American views and pro-Soviet views.
Hmm. And so they were globalists and one-worlders. I mean, you experienced that very directly.
Well, yes, I did, and I'm not sure all of them were globalists, that is, or one-worlders, but they certainly were not capitalists, and they certainly were not Republican. They weren't Democratic Republicans. They weren't for this form of government, in other words. They're oddball people, and I don't understand them. I've never been able to understand how anybody could look around this globe, look at the United States, and say, oh, let's just toss this government out in favor of the kind of government they have over in North Korea or Cuba. To me, it's insane, even with all the problems we have in this country, which, of course, every day, those of us who care work to solve.
Well, my final question to you, sir, is, in your opinion of President Clinton, was he an honest, sincere patriot who stumbled into the wrong crowd, or was he corrupted from the beginning?
I believe that President Clinton, if he had been in any other line of work, would have ended up in prison for illegal activities. But as Will Rogers says, politics is the only organized crime that you can participate in and avoid a prison sentence. I mean, he was a corrupt politician, and we've had many of them in our country. We shouldn't be surprised that we've just experienced another one. But I don't see Bill Clinton as having the hard left ideology that his wife Hillary Clinton has.
In other words, you're actually separating Hillary's far-left socialism to Bill Clinton's pragmatism for power.
Well, I believe that Bill Clinton was pragmatic and was willing to compromise, of course, and then he got another 4 years in the White House.
All right, fine. Anything else, Nathan?
Well, just a quick comment. It's sort of interesting that President Clinton, unfortunately, did sell out his own core constituency, the unions and poor people, to the globalist cause in the form of NAFTA and GATT. And that was the beginning of when I began to think things were seriously wrong and regretted my own decision in 1992 of having voted for him. But
well, there we have it. We have a disgruntled, a possible Democrat. I don't know what your party meaning is.
Oh, today it's very different than it was. But
even so, I wouldn't blame a Democrat today for not necessarily wanting to put his toes in the water of the Republican camp.
Oh, no, I don't go with either party.
Sir. I know. You ought to have a party out there that you can trust and that expresses your core values, and that's what the essence of my book is, that the Heartland Democrats have been sold out by these people, and this is a power struggle that began in the 60s when the hard left first took issue with the Kennedys' strong stance against communism.
Sure, definitely.
Okay.
It's good that you bring that out, that he was staunchly for the United States, and that may have... Well, that's another subject.
Okay,
I'll
well, thanks,
you
thanks very
thanks.
Much.
We're on the same track here.
Okay. Oh, Nathan is, I've known probably for a decade or more, and he's certainly evolved from, much more thoughtful and certainly perceptive of what's going on today. But then, of course, he was a victim of one of the most liberal universities in the entire world, and that's the University of California in Santa Cruz. Right now, we've got Jeannie on the line. Hi, Jeannie. Calling from, is that Jeannie from Aptos?
Yes, it is. Well, I heard the name Hillary, and, of course, that just gets me going. As you know, my tramping grounds are Central America, and this woman is evil. During the war in El Salvador, when she was head of the New World Foundation, she gave and sanctioned $6,000 to CEPAS. Ackerman is a committee in solidarity for the people of El Salvador.
That's a communist organization, isn't it?
It's a communist front organization. And what they bought with this money was the anti-personnel bombs, the little bombs that look like toys, like cars or pencils, and the kids in El Salvador would pick them up and they would explode in their faces or take off their hands or arms. And the reason they targeted the children so the parents could not fight the rebels and the communists in the war in El Salvador.
Well, I'm sure you're not going to read that in the mainline media, but I've read that elsewhere, and I'm sure you're absolutely right, Jeannie.
I have friends in the government that actually took pictures of these children in the hospital, and they were on the front lines, and they were connected to oxygen and just daily living, and some did die. So this woman professes to love children. She is actually, she talks out both sides of her mouth, and a very evil person.
All right, let's get Gary's a response. How would you respond to what Jeannie is saying?
Well, Stan, I would just simply say that the hard left is the most underreported story in our nation's history.
All right,
they've been able to have this hold on us since the mid-60s, and they've gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, and yet the story of their emergence to power has been kept really under the radar screen because, of course, the mainstream media is not going to talk about it, and the Democratic Party doesn't want to talk about it, and the Republican Party is too afraid to talk about it. So we're not talking about aliens landing on the Earth or an Area 51 in Arizona. What we're talking about is a real political movement that's been well documented in this country, and for some reason they are able to keep themselves out of the newspapers and keep themselves off the television networks.
And, of course, Jeannie is talking about CISPIS. Thank you so very much for calling, Jeannie.
I have one more thing,
okay,
with Hillary.
Fine.
The locals say in El Salvador that she's the godmother to one of the sons of the top communist commander in the Civil War in El Salvador, and that's Joaquin Villalobos. And also very tied tightly with the hard left in Central America. And Bill Clinton, when he was governor, he used to come down to Antigua, Guatemala, and meet with the mafia down there. So he's not an angel also.
All right. Thank you, Jeannie.
Yes,
let's go to Fred calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. I watched an interview with the captain of the Air Force One on C-SPAN this last weekend, and he was commenting about a story that he had when Nixon went to China in 1972, and the real story about that was that in 1969, he was summoned to the White House, and they started making plans for that trip in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making trips back and forth to China, and if everybody remembers right, in 1969, the Vietnam War was going wide open, and the Chinese were our bitter enemies, and they were supplying the Vietnamese.
Things are never quite what they appear to be, are they?
No, they don't, and I wonder, that really doesn't say much for our government. I don't even know what to think about that. Here they're making deals with the Chinese on one side of their mouth and talking war on the other side.
Well, we're still making deals with the Chinese. How would you respond to what Fred is saying, Gary?
Well, of course, there are many examples of this, and it causes great dismay to those of us who believe that you shouldn't do business with murderers. And but we do have greedy people in both parties, Democrats and Republicans, who believe that we can buy our way out of any of these calamities that are going on in the world. They're wrong, I believe. Many of these governments, like Iraq, for example, and its oil for food and medicine program, all that happens there is that they make some kind of deal that's corrupt with the United Nations, and then Saddam Hussein pockets the money, and you know he converts it into gold bars and U.S. dollars and squirrels it away in some foreign bank account.
I wonder where Saddam is enjoying himself today.
Well, he has the billions and billions of dollars that he stole from this program, and yet all those well-meaning people got behind that program and said what a wonderful thing it was that we were doing to at least compromise enough to let Saddam Hussein trade oil for food and medicine.
And who can be against food and medicine for the children? Always
right.
For the children. And,
always for the children.
And anything else you want to say there, Fred?
I just would like to know all the Vietnam veterans, if they could just remember back what was happening in 1969.
Now, Fred, have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
No, I haven't.
You need to get it, and you need to read it, and you'll understand what this is about. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Do you have a question at all for our guest today, Gary Aldrich?
Yeah, thanks, Jensen. Gary, I just wanted to bounce this off you. What do you think about, Barbara Walters is tossing softballs at Hillary, that anybody could be so stupid as to fall for those fake and phony stand by your mannerisms as anything but raw political calculus?
All right, fine. Let's get Gary's comment on that.
It just makes her look nobler, you know, that if she stands by the bum.
All right, fine. Let's get Gary's a comment on that. And of course, Roger is saying that, you know, when Hillary is being interviewed by Barbara Walters, instead of throwing hard balls and asking significant questions, all she's getting is the soft balls, and, Hillary is standing by her man, the faithful little wife who's simply been misused by this lecherous husband.
Well, I must say, at this point in time, after all the news that's been out there, all the documentation that's available that tells us what is going on in mainstream media, how anybody could be surprised that a program is staged and that the questions are already known before they're asked and the answers are already carefully rehearsed. I mean, we've got to, as a population, we've got to understand that the mainstream media, Barbara Walters included, has an agenda, and that's the support of Hillary Clinton and of Bill Clinton. And they don't give a darn what conservatives think or want. And it's time we got used to the playing field we're on. And yes, there are a significant number of people in this country who haven't caught on to this, who are disengaged, and are easily led by a program like this on 60 Minutes or on Barbara Walters Special. We've got to get used to that idea, too. And that just tells us that we have to work that much harder to get our message out there and to alert the American people of the danger that they're facing. And actually, that's the reason why I wrote Thunder on the Left. By the way, Stan, I want to tell your listeners, I'm not taking any royalties from this book. All proceeds, profits from this book go to charity.
All right. Now, how can people get a copy of your book?
Any bookstore. Go to Amazon.com if they don't want to go to the bookstore, or Barnes & Noble on the Internet. Most every bookstore, Christian bookstores, are now stocking it, especially on the West Coast. So Just about anywhere you want to buy the book, it's available.
All right, that's Thunder on the Left, an insider's report on hijacking of the Democratic Party. Gary, I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I would want them to steel themselves for the days to come, the battle that's ahead of us. These hard left people mean to take this country away from you people, and you've got to get used to the idea. I know it's hard to believe that there are people living in this country who hate America, but you've got to get used to the idea.
And I think that's one thing I'd like to leave with all of our listeners, and you say it so well. God bless you. Thanks so much, Gary. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stan.
Okay, fine. That was Gary Aldrich, his book, certainly Thunder on the Left, and I recommend it to you. It's well done, and he certainly points out the fact that we've got two problems. One is the hard left and their Marxist policies. The other is the soft-hearted right who don't understand what's going on. We'll be back here in just a moment to discuss more of the problems that we face here in the United States.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Archer Stan, and let me just mention Phonopoly. If you have your children in a government school, they are not learning to read properly. There's an organized effort not to give them phonics or to mix it up with look-see in an intentional effort to scramble their brains. Now, this is not the average teacher, but there are people within the organized educational system who hate America, who are part of this hard left we were talking about. That's why if you have a child or a grandchild in a government school, you need to get a Phonopoly set, and you need to teach them how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. That's why the children do so poorly in the spelling bees, because they just haven't been taught. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order a Phonopoly set, usually $300, $400, $500. This is $139.95. It's five board games, two bonus games, and, of course, you'll get two books that we throw in. And then, of course, we also offer the homeschool program, Art Robinson's homeschool program. It's 22 CDs, and the entire curriculum is there from grammar school all the way through high school, graduation, and the textbooks are there, the lesson plans, the questions and answers for the test. The only thing you have to buy are the Saxon textbooks. If you're interested in either product, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Robinson homeschool curriculum, or certainly ask about the Phonopoly program, the Phonopoly set. I have a lot of older people who've actually got those and have really learned how to read. They may even be 60 years old, but they get rid of the sleepy tired syndrome and they begin to read and really enjoy reading. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Archer Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there in the listening audience. If you believe in what we're doing and would like to help us be on the air 5 hours a day as we are, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is, of course, try to educate the American people, not only about the political and the geopolitical aspects of the struggle, but about the historical and the spiritual aspects of this struggle in which we are all engaged, whether we want to be or not. And most people would just like to live and be left alone. But unfortunately, that's not the case. I'm sure the people of Iraq would just like to be allowed to live and raise their families. But now they're in a situation of total chaos before they had a ruthless tyrant, Saddam Hussein. But what most people in America don't understand is the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. And those of you who have not yet read my March newsletter, you need to get it. You can get it up on the internet at RadioLiberty.com, or we'll be glad to send you a free copy of my March newsletter. Why? Because it has a quotation from the CIA operative who was the head of the CIA office in Kurdistan, that's northern Iraq, back in 1995, and he will tell you how time and again the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1993 and again in 1995, and we wouldn't let them. Why would that be? Not only that, but we allowed him to smuggle oil out of the country, and we could have stopped him at any time. And he was getting money for that in addition to the food and medicines for oil. Why would we be doing everything we could on one hand to help Saddam Hussein when he was such a ruthless tyrant and he was killing his people and torturing the people and maintaining his power, you know, simply by force and coercion and terror? Well, you get our newsletter. Read what the chief agent had to say. Of course, get some of our videos. You really should get our video, the Iraq, the Untold Story. And you can get the video, or you can get that along with a syllabus. And if you really want to understand the story of Iraq, you need to get the Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus. You can get both of them together. You can get them separately. But we need to get you educated so you can educate others. So remember, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of our March newsletter if you call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or you can certainly get the video, or you can get the syllabus together or separately. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, because it will explain to you the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And you can get the book by itself for $12.95. You can get the video for $19.95 and the tape for $7.50, or get them all together for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And look at our newsletters. They're all there. You're welcome to pull them down and to copy them and to distribute them to others. Go to our archive programs, and they're archived for about a month back, and listen to those programs, and you can copy those and get them to other people. Help us to educate the American people while we still have time. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers, because they're the people who should be leading this truly spiritual battle. And then we ask you to pray for revival, because if the people of this country don't turn back to God, God is never going to bless this country. And we will see the wrath of God brought forth upon America. And lastly, we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.